What is going on, Adom Nation? Welcome to another episode here on Adom Radio. I am your host, John Stamper, and excited to be back with the team from Cedar HR. As many of you know out there in Adom Nation, Cedar HR has been such an amazing resource for so many of you in your dental practice when it comes to HR issues and all the like, what have you. So it's nice every couple months, every quarter, to have some of their great team members join us. And so I'm very excited today to be with Mariah Ochoa, who is an HR advisor in the Solution Center with Cedar. And she's been assisting dentists and office managers for more than 3 years, has a background in hands-on management, and as an HR director for large employers. Mariah, how you doing?
John, I'm great. Thanks for asking.
I'm so excited to have you. And as always, you all at Cedar HR bring such great information in this space. And I'm looking forward to today's conversation. And the title, if you all hopefully have seen it by now, which I think will get your attention, which is Don't Fight Fires with Gasoline, Be Prepared for Anything. So Mariah, I'm excited for you to kind of get into this topic. And I think more importantly, share a little bit about what you're excited about and why you're here.
Yeah, John, I mean, likewise, we're excited to be talking to you today. Our favorite part of working with our members here at Cedar is really any opportunity for those high-level culture conversations and digging in and supporting the managers that we work with as they wrap their skill set around things they haven't experienced before. You know, HR functions are so much about experience and having a toolbox to reach for, full of language from prior experience that you can pull from, but that also comes with time and trial and error with difficult situations that can unfortunately also involve risk for the business. So sometimes the only way to build that toolbox is talking to an expert who can give you appropriate scripts and perspective. But we're going to talk about some additional resources today. But anytime I can get on the phone with a manager and send them off with more confidence than they approach the Solution Center with, I know I speak for the rest of our team when I say that's the fulfilling aspect of our positions here at Cedar and the advisor role. And we have a long, ongoing relationship with ADOM. We love working with ADOM members because we find that you share the same values of really wanting to improve the workplace, to overall improve the lives of the employees, and to be able to pursue the business interests and functions without those challenges and roadblocks. But they come up, and we know that owners and providers, you know, they didn't get into dentistry or their specialty to be caught up in these HR tasks, right? So the employee management aspect sometimes comes as an afterthought, and those providers, owners, sometimes are not the best resource for training those things in new team leads or office managers. So that's where we come in, where HR experts come in, and some of this education and resources that we'll talk about. It's an important element of appropriately and adequately handling HR and keeping that part of your job active and engaged. So any well-intentioned leader or manager is going to reach for the nearest, you know, most familiar tool, which is fair. And, you know, we're just getting through our days sometimes, but sometimes that tool isn't the right one, or it's not communicated in a way that mitigates heightened risk. So we can sometimes add fuel to a fire by jumping to situations or responses without considering legalities or policy or best practice. So we know office managers wear so many hats and work with complex and varying team dynamics that middle management place is the toughest place to be. So I'm excited to talk about how we keep up with HR even when there's no active issues on someone's plate.
All right. So I know in your role, like you mentioned, you're getting questions from practices all over the country all day long. And as you mentioned, putting fuel on the fire, as you know so well, Mariah, a lot of times it's not intentional. It literally is because a practice does not know that a particular standard or law has changed. And so the very first thing I wanted to ask you is that, and I'm sure ADOM Nation is always thinking this, but how do you all as HR experts keep up on all the changing standards and laws that are out there?
Yeah, it's absolutely a question we get often. And sometimes there's an element of skepticism and how we can keep up to date when we're operating out of one state, but there are so many state laws to be aware of and so many evolving things to keep track of. You know, as advisors and HR experts, we keep up on continuing education by attending webinars. So a couple times a month, you know, we're looking at opportunities from law firms for continuing education, but Also reading articles about labor law and consulting with legal experts about what laws mean for employers. Our ADOM members know that we work with an in-house compliance department. But something really simple that office managers can periodically do is check in on their state's website. Most states have some kind of forum where they can announce upcoming changes, and this can be a good way for office managers to keep up with that new information. But the issue with utilizing that kind of raw information is that it can't speak to how a certain regulation or best practice even applies to ADOM members. And, it's not possible for state or federal entities to address every HR situation that might come up that's associated with a change or a new regulation. And it can be really difficult to find the answer that you're looking for just with a Google search, or if you're looking at the text of a law. That legalese can be tough to interpret. So sometimes the kind of resources that we refer to are intended for well-seasoned HR professionals who have some basis of experience or knowledge. So someone getting into an HR position or someone who only does a fraction of HR, as part of their job, may not have that basis of experience or knowledge. So, CEDAR really bridges this gap by creating compliant policies and maintaining employee handbooks for our members. And we watch those ever-changing laws to ensure that our members have compliant policies in place without having to interpret or sort through what's available online themselves. And of course, the employee handbook, putting that in place and maintaining it is so important. And it should be used as a tool to refer to for things like benefit eligibility, full-time or part-time classification requirement, that kind of specific nitty-gritty stuff, or even just dress code or leave policies. So it's important for a manager to be well acquainted with their policies and to refer to it when they need a reminder. So there's equal enforcement and management, but that handbook also inherently has limitations, right? So it can't speak to or cover every individual scenario that's going to come up. So, something like a new family leave regulation or, something like the Pregnant Workers Protection Law that we saw go into place a few years ago, it can greatly impact how these things are managed and handled day to day. So, staying up to date by being involved with an HR expert, reading notifications about updated compliance aspects is so crucial. But again, interpreting those types of articles or the text of a law can be challenging. I'm not a lawyer, and we know that our ADOM members aren't lawyers or attorneys with that kind of legal background. So making sure the handbook is up to date and compliant while using an expert to act as a sounding board is the right way to go.
All right, so then how does a book, like you mentioned, of existing policies help the manager when they're faced with a big issue that, as you know, Mariah, causes them stress, like an employee conflict or an employee threatening a lawsuit? I know that there's no way that, for example, answering a question about how much PTO an employee gets is the hardest thing that these managers have to deal with
Right.
when they're literally losing sleep over something or hit with an initial discovery of an issue. So when you talk to these practices, what do they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. The handbook is such a great tool, and our ADOM members know it's such an important thing for them to have. But when something big comes up, day-to-day management or exact steps, scripts, and responding to those issues, it's not something that the handbook can provide or that a Google search is going to give you. So, this is where best practice and utilizing resources comes in. A key skill that office managers have to carry is knowing how to reach for the appropriate resource, and that comes with time. But, a good example is like an employee requesting a maternity leave, and it's your best performer, it's a key employee. And they say, I'm pregnant. I'm thinking of taking a year off after the baby is born, and I want to come back to my job after that. So, even if they've read their own policies or read articles about controlling and managing leave, an office manager's first instinct is probably to try to retain this high performer, right? Like, especially if they're a key employee, like a team lead or the doctor's favorite dental assistant, so the knee-jerk reaction is probably, yeah, absolutely. Like, we'll figure it out, we'll work it out. But it's so much more complex than that. And if we're offering job protected leave in excess of an existing policy that might carve out, say, 8 to 12 weeks of available leave time, we could be overpromising what we can actually do for this employee. Especially in offices of about 25 or so employees, keeping a position open for an extended period of time can cause patient care continuity issues, culture issues, financial burden. So, instead of skipping to that knee-jerk reaction, which is, like you mentioned, well-intended, we're just trying to serve the business and serve the employees, It's important to slow down. So an initial promise of providing extended leave can aggravate a situation or, as we're talking about, throw gasoline on a fire. So best practice is to collect a leave request in writing, consider the established policy. First we need to determine if the policy itself is compliant. Are there any state or federal laws that dictate how we respond? Or do we have a prior precedent or a policy that speaks to what we offer? And if not, of course, there's the element of the human perspective. And so part of this might include reviewing, like, the Americans with Disabilities Act or the Pregnant Workers Fairness Act. So there's always an opportunity to be more generous than an established policy. But, first considering the impact of the practice and prior precedent that we might be even setting, before we request in writing, before we respond to a request in writing is an important step. So we also want to keep a consistent standard of protective documentation with something to refer back to later on or, to offer if any employment decisions are questioned.
All right, so in that case, could you share an example or two of how a manager potentially could throw gasoline on an employee conflict situation to make it worse?
Sure. I mean, that's a really simple situation, right? We might just be making someone upset by overpromising a leave situation, and then they're mad they don't have a job to return to. Maybe they're, putting things on Facebook, saying bad things about your practice in the community. But, these can be even more volatile situations. So, reaching for that automatic response or instinctive reaction can be even more risky when we're talking about a different, type of complaint. So maybe a long-standing employee comes up to an office manager and says, "Hey, the new hire, I like them. Seems like they're going to be a good employee, but they made a comment about my hair being nice for my age, and or something about looking good in scrubs, and I was uncomfortable." So a manager, again, well-intended, reaching for that less contentious, verbiage to respond might say, "I think that might just be the way that he is. I've heard him say similar things like that before. I'm sure he didn't mean to be weird." And, probably meant to de-escalate the situation, a response like that could make things worse. So the employee who reported the comment, they might now feel dismissed, be less likely to bring up further concerns or to be open about why the comment made them uncomfortable. And this office manager may have inadvertently open themselves up to an age discrimination or even a sexual harassment claim, when their intention was actually to keep things running smoothly and not wanting to make an offhand comment a bigger deal than it may have been in the first place. So, this is one of those areas where experience and seeing things like that snowball out of control, and being able to pull the right language from your toolbox is especially important. So, instead, a best practice response would be, can we set a time? Aside a time to talk about this more. I want to have a good understanding of what was said and how you felt. And if we can get employees to fill out a physical form when there's something like that that could be higher risk, that's the right way to go, right? Because then you can look into it and make sure to uphold professionalism standards and really communicate to that employee who reported the concern that we never want anyone to be made to feel uncomfortable in the working environment. So, maybe the comment was innocent. And maybe it was well-meaning, or maybe the office manager had seen a similar pattern that actually violated a policy. So a concern process in the handbook would demonstrate the steps to take, but it can't give you a script to feel more confident in an investigation space or to communicate to employees that their concern is being taken seriously. So this is where having, a sounding board or a consult to talk to can help you to come up with the right things to say. And as an advisor, I'm often coaching office managers on how to have these conversations and even providing those scripts to help prepare them for sensitive conversations. So, another common, more simple example of an intuitive response being non-compliant is something we run into every day. A manager who doesn't know the regulations could just ask an employee for a doctor's note when they call in, not considering any active sick leave laws, the practice is subject to that might actually prohibit requesting substantiation for absences.
All right. So I know this is one of the most challenging things that a lot of the audience deals with, but could you talk a little bit about how a manager can determine when it actually is finally time to reach out to somebody like yourself, an HR expert to kind of help them navigate things going on in their practice? Like I would imagine there's
Yeah.
times where they feel like they have it handled, but
Right.
from your experience, define when is a good time for them to do this?
Oh my goodness. Well, that's such a intangible skill for someone to hone in on. And, I won't sugarcoat it. It's easier said than done. It takes time and being, involved in these situations to find that balance. But it's really understandable and even relatable as someone who has management experience for that gray area of, is this a problem that needs to be handled? Or something that will work itself out to be something that ADOM members struggle with. But sometimes living in that gray space can heighten the risk involved with a situation. If we wait too long, sometimes that risk is heightened. So, at CDER, we do have charts that we offer that help to determine if something is an operational issue, versus a high-risk problem, interpersonal or compliant problem that needs to be immediately addressed. We also offer training courses that are great for managers. These courses focus in on compliance subjects like HIPAA training for yourself and your team, employee classification analysis and termination decisions. But they're also these resources are also anecdotal to what ADOM members might actually encounter, like substance use in the workplace or approaching an employee who comes to work accompanied by, a less than ideal odor. So I'd say that, talking things through is one of the most important aspects of the office manager position. So we know that leaders and practices are talking to, upper management and owners about how these things correspond to their core values and what an ideal outcome is. But we also know that providers aren't always available to discuss employee issues while they prioritize patient care. So continuing to read articles, taking training courses and attending webinars is a good way to stay abreast of compliance aspects and best practice. But sometimes reaching out over the phone or with an email to an expert is the only way to have an active and specific conversation and to gauge what's actually happening. Here I think it's important to mention something that we've seen our members struggle with recently, and that's using AI or ChatGPT. I think that's a really reasonable direction for someone to go in. So we have managers that have reached out with policies or employee memos or responses to concerns drafted by AI. And we're definitely able to edit and speak to HR aspects of that kind of messaging. But oftentimes, training an AI bot or ChatGPT is crucial to that software being comprehensive and pulling information from reputable sources. So we also know that this kind of software runs about 1 year behind in terms of pulling in relevant data. So again, I totally understand why it's tempting to ask ChatGPT to, for example, come up with a response to something like an email with complaints from an employee. It might even look like that email came from ChatGPT. Employees are using it, aren't they? But, again, that software doesn't have the touch to consider the human impact of language or the bigger picture of what needs to be communicated to employees. So educational materials and training about the risks of using AI is a great way for managers to be aware of how this resource impacts their jobs. But only an HR professional human can accurately assess for legal and policy compliance while balancing that human impact and business needs. So, really, John, I think the overall message is that while office managers can complete checklists and they can do all of their training and continuing education, they're doing their best to consume HR targeted materials, but nothing really replaces the value of consulting with an expert who can help you to digest those things and break down legal language in a way that's also transferable to interacting with your employees. So not only does CDER provide those materials and learning management system that speaks this nuanced language, but our team of experts here loves and appreciates living in this space of actively advising our members.
Yeah, and as we started this conversation, stressing how valuable you have been to so many of the ADOM offices across the country, I think this speaks to that, right? I think that today's conversation really highlights being careful in these situations and how quickly, to your point, you can put more gasoline on the fire that makes it worse. And I think the most important thing here is everybody listening knowing that they have a resource in you all in order to be able to help with that. So as we
Absolutely.
wrap, any final thoughts, resources? I know you guys are always creating a way for practices to get in touch with you and programs and things like that. So what's the best way for them to go about that?
Oh, even just reaching out on our website, we've got forms where you can submit questions. We also have that Facebook Base Camp, which is a really good way for people to reach out for some advice. Our advisors, we really appreciate the opportunity to talk about risk. We have some members who want to reach out just for forms and make, their own business decisions. And of course, we empower people to do that as well, and we'll provide the materials that people are asking for. But, the quality interactions that we have and where we're able to really send people off in a more confident direction is by having those more in-depth conversations. Being able to provide both our individual expertise, but also our combined expertise of our team. We have a lot of advisors who do have that hands-on management, but a lot of us have been advising our small to medium-sized dental practices for years now, and also have the advantage of being familiar with this industry and best practice.
Awesome. Well, as always, ADOM Nation, all of the links and ways to get in touch with the team at Cedar HR, as Mariah mentioned, will be in the show notes. So be sure to click on that. It's always valuable, even just to reach out if you have an inkling of a situation where you feel like you want to get their experience and their thoughts
That's
on.
right.
I would highly recommend that you do that. I've been in those situations before on the HR side. It's not fun. And when I look back, and I think some of the things that I've learned as an entrepreneur is that if you have a resource like Cedar, it never hurts to reach out. So,
Use us, yeah.
yeah, completely. Well, Mariah, thank you so much. Always appreciate you all coming on here, sharing your insight, and being
Oh,
kind of
likewise, John.
that confidence platform for ADOM Nation. And until our next episode, everybody, we'll see you soon.
Bye now.
Here it is. Hold on. Oops.